Yes, Lord. Majesty. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Another glimpse of glory. Another glimpse of glory. I just wonder how many glimpses of glory that it takes before you want to take the crown from your head and cast it at his feet and cry, holy, holy. I sense the nearness of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today. What a great opportunity for all of us. You afford to be in this house, to be in the presence of the Lord, and to be with God's people. Man, thank you for being here today. And thank you for all of your prayers that have been going up to the Lord in behalf of the families of our church that have suffered loss. We continue to lift them up. The Minton family had such a wonderful tribute to Brother Minton's life the other night. Brother Frank, his memorial is coming up. And lift up Sister Jan. Remember Brother Cheryl. And remember to pray for our pastor. He has not missed a beat. He's not missed a day. He's like the Energizer Bunny that just keeps going and going and going and going. And I'm asking him to take care of himself. And I know that he is doing such a marvelous work. I'm going to tell you something. I felt this yesterday. If I wasn't a member of Greater Life Church, I would run as fast as I could and as hard as I could over whatever I had to get over to get here to become a part. Amen. I feel that way. I feel that way. Yeah, I feel that way. I want to be in the house of the Lord, but I really want to be at Greater Life Church, and I am so thankful, so very, very thankful for all of you that are here. If you're near somebody that you know, smile and tell them, I have the Holy Ghost. I hope you do too. If you don't know them, introduce yourself. Let's just ask the Lord to have his way in the remaining portion of this service. I really sense a special work of the Holy Ghost in this place today. I sense that the Lord is here for a particular reason, and it would be a great opportunity for you to really reach out to him and ask him to do what only he can do. Would you pray with me right now? Father, we love you and we thank you for your mercies and your goodness. Lord, everyone that is in this place today, that they would sense and know that you are here for them, that you are not filling this atmosphere with just your wonderful presence, but you are here for them. Whatever their need, whatever their concern, whatever their situation, you are here today, Lord, to touch them and their life and to lift them up. And we pray that your will would be done. And everybody said amen. You may be seated. Michelangelo was the Italian sculptor, painter, architect, and poet of what was known as the High Renaissance period of the 1600s. His creative abilities and masteries ranged a wide variety of areas. He was defined in his day as a genius and a marvel. He was called by many El Divino, which means the divine one. He would become one of the most documented artists, sculptors that ever lived, and he was lauded even to this day in the arena of arts. He is one of the most well-known names. The known works that he is He is recognized for our Madonna and the Child, the frescoes on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, which if you've never seen them, they are marvelous in their detail. The Last Judgment, the statue of David, the dome at St. Peter's Basilica, the design of the Laurian Library in Florence, Italy. Truly, Michelangelo, who was a contemporary of an older Leonardo da Vinci, was one of those that was in a realm all his own. He was truly an artist and architectural genius. But in one of the galleries of Florence, Italy, there stands a group of unusual statuaries that were by Michelangelo. These unusual statuaries are known as the prisoners. The prisoners. They are called such because of one peculiar reason. All of them, the works, are less than halfway finished. The artist had done enough work on the marble to give us a glimpse of the human form and figures emerging, as it were, from the marbles to real life. They give the appearance as if they are struggling to be free, but their struggle is in vain because the artist's hand has long been dead, and they will remain unfinished works of his hand. All they really need was the touch of the master's hand, and for long they had longed for that touch that never came, that touch that would have transformed them and completed them and finished their life, but the touch never came. They are in bondage to their own limitations. They are held in a time warp through the ages. When you go by and look at them, you can only imagine what they would have become, what they would have looked like, what they could have been known for, but they are frozen as unfinished products. If they could speak, no doubt they would cry out, "Can somebody help me? Can somebody free me? Can somebody loose the chains that hold me bound in this eternal state of incompleteness?" But their cry goes unheard, and they linger on in their unfinished way. They are no doubt much like some lives in this building today, that for one reason or another, you are not a completed work. I don't know the reason, and there are many reasons why there are incomplete works in people's lives, and I don't want to go into them all because you know your story. You know why you feel incomplete and empty today. You know, perhaps it was your own doing. Unlike those pieces of marble and stone that could do nothing about their situations, you and I have a free will that can be involved in the work that the Master would be doing upon our lives. And if we so choose, we can remove ourselves from his touch. We can pull ourselves away from his hand. We can say, "Not today, Lord. I'm too busy. I have too many other things to worry about, or I'm too concerned about other issues." And our life lingers on in this incomplete state. And so man lives and moves through life surrounded by the unfinished things of life. Those things that ought to be, but they are not. He is always attempting what he cannot accomplish, beginning what he cannot carry through. Men drift into things without knowing where they are going, but God never does. God never does. Men may talk about waiting for something to turn up, but God never does. An unfinished work or an unfinished life is a tragedy. It is a travesty that God, who could do great and marvelous things, would be limited in what he could do in my life because of my own will and my own choice. What could be today? What could be in this service? What should be in this service if we only understood the purpose and the intent of his visitation? You see, the Lord is not like us. We will go to people's houses on a whim. We just are driving down the road and we say, oh, let's go by so-and-so's because we're near, and we turn right and turn left and there we are, and we knock at the door and we're invited in. And it was all on the spur of a moment. It was just a whim of our imagination or our thought, but God never moves without purpose. Wherever God goes, there's a reason. The reason that God's Spirit was sensed in this service today is because somebody was seeking him. Somebody was worshiping him. Somebody was praising him. And the Bible said that he fills the atmosphere of those who praise him. He will come near to those that come nigh unto him. And so the reason the Lord is in this place today is to touch somebody's life and help bring to completion a work that was interrupted somewhere back along the lines of life. We don't know. Maybe it was an old hurt. Maybe something happened way back then and you never got over it, and the bitterness was easy to adopt into your life, and the hurt was much more easy to nurse than to allow healing to come. And so your life lingers today on that verge of what could be and what should be and what ought to be, the unfinished work of a master's hand. What a tragic thought that God would begin a work in me that he could not finish. Is it God's fault? No. God never begins anything that he does not intend to finish. God never starts what he does not intend to complete. God never begins something that he does not intend to finish. But there are many times that the hand of God is interrupted on our lives because we have other plans and we have other ideas. And so the unfinished works of life are many today. What could be, what should be, what ought to be. But I have good news for you. I read in my Bible this week some wonderful scriptures that told me just how powerful the purpose of God is. And I want to share those with you for just a moment. I don't have a masterpiece to preach to you, but I do have a burden that is pulsating in my heart that God dropped there when Pastor asked me, could I preach today? Immediately the Lord spoke to me, and this is what he spoke. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath appointed me to tell the good news to the poor. He hath sent me to tell the captives they are free. I'm going to loose you from those chains. I'm going to loose you from that place of inactivity. He said, I'm going to tell the blind, you can see again. I'm going to tell the blind, you can see again. I'm going to tell the lame, you can walk again. I'm going to tell the hurt, you can be healed again. Hallelujah. And God sent me to free those who have been treated unfairly. Treated unfairly. Perhaps that is the arena where the most unfinished lives are. The lives that have been treated unfairly. Something happens. The hurt comes. The words are spoken. The pain is inflicted. And we cannot move on. And what God began is paused because we nurse something and we encourage something. in our own lives that will not allow God's hand to come back in. But would you please hear me today? This old man is reaching for somebody in this building, for God has a message that he wants to speak directly to you today, that what he started in your life a long time ago, he wants to start working on it again today. He wants to finish what he started. He wants to complete what he began. You see, God has an infinite purpose in mind when he works, and God's mind and purpose is to put everything as it ought to be. God must always be thought of as having this distinct purpose in whatever he undertakes, and as active and purposeful as anyone can ever be. God always has a purpose. Thoughtless action is never part of his demeanor. Unpremeditated action is never something that God would do. God can never be associated with an unconcerned or an uninterest. He knows the end from the beginning, and he has always had this word: there is no accident with me. What I began, I do want to finish. God's purpose is never forgotten. Man so often crowds his life with interest that he forgets what he intended to do in the beginning, and he is carried away with all of these new attractions and quite forgets what he meant to do. And so man's path is beset with the snare of the unfinished plans, the unfinished house, the unfinished life, things dropped and forgotten in order to take something new on. But God never operates like that. And God never forgets. God never forgets. God never forgets. God never forgets. Though you have forgotten and long pushed it out of your mind that things will never be different in your life than they are, God said, oh, I have to differ with you today, because I never stop having a purpose for you. I never stop intending to work on your life. I always wanted to bring it to completion. Listen to what my Bible read, spoke to me this week. He said in John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 5:36, he said, but I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which your Father has sent me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. I came to finish what God started in the beginning. Sin may have interrupted. Sin may have put a pause there. But he said, the reason that I'm here, the reason that I came, is I'm going to finish what God started in the beginning. I'm going to bring to completion the divine purpose of God. And so through the long lens of history, we see the hand of God working on man here and there, because God's purposes are never frustrated. God's purposes are never frustrated. Man's often are, but not God. Man's proposes to himself too much and life beats him down, or he proposes at what things that cross other people and the opposition beats him down. But God's purposes, God never proposes to himself what is beyond himself. God never begins something that he cannot finish. And what God began in your life, he said, I want to bring to conclusion. I want to bring to a fruition. God sent us in Christ Jesus, the message and the messenger. It is amazing to me that in the book of John alone, there are 44 references to the word sent. Jesus used the words, he was sent. I was sent. I was sent. What does that mean? That means there was a divine purpose behind it. You don't send something without a reason. You don't send something without a purpose. You don't send something without a plan. But God said, I have a purpose. I want to finish what was started. I want to bring the conclusion. I don't want any statuaries in my gallery that are unfinished. Amen. And so he said it over and over and over. I'm sent. I'm sent. I'm sent. What would happen in your life if somebody knocked on your door and said to you tomorrow, I am sent by the Treasury of the United States? You wouldn't slam the door in their face and say, get out of here, quit bothering me. Somebody that's sent, I am sent by the Treasury of the United States of America to give you something, to give you a treasure that is without value. There is no monetary amount you can. That's what happens every time the Lord shows up in our life. He is offering a treasure that is beyond monetary value. He is offering a life that is better than any life that we can know anywhere else. He is offering a peace unlike any kind of peace you can find on a counselor's bench or in the shadows of Facebook or anywhere else. There is a peace that he can give you that is unlike any peace in the world, that can say to a storm, peace be still, and the storm ceases. He can say into the darkness, let there be light, and there is light. God can speak into your life and he can change you forever. What was he sent for? What was he sent for? He was sent to finish the unfinished works, to complete the unfinished works, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord has appointed me, not just anointed me, but it has appointed me. What are you appointed for? To preach the good news. To preach the good news to the poor, to those who lack, to those who sit on the sideline and wonder if you'll ever count in the game of life. He said, I have been sent. I have been appointed to come to your house. I want to knock on your door today. I want to speak to you. He hath appointed me to tell the good news to the poor. He has sent me to tell the captives, you're free. You're free. I just wondered this week how many captives there would be in this service today. On the outside, nobody would ever know. On the outside, you're all dressed up. You look just like everybody else in this place. But on the inside, it's a different story. I'm a captive to fear. I'm a captive to lust. And I'm a captive to these demons of the dark, and I'm a captive. I try to get free, but I can't seem to break the yoke. I can't seem to find a place of release. I pray, but there's really no victory. I'm going to tell you why. It's because you're not praying to the right one. If you'll pray to him, those things that are not yet, I'm telling you, the answer to the not yet in your life is, but I see Jesus. I see the Lord high and lifted it up. I see his train filling the temple, meaning look at all the for you. I'm not going to leave you on the side of the road. I'm not going to leave your life unfinished. I'm going to complete the work that I have started. Can it ever be questioned even for a moment whether God would rather save you or allow you to perish? Can it ever be questioned when you read verses like this? His mercy endureth forever. He delighteth in mercy. Who is a God likened to thee the Lord will carry to an end all things that concern my welfare. That's what Paul wrote to the Philippians in the first chapter. God will carry to an end all plans, all things that concern my welfare. God's enduring and unchanging mercy. His disposition is to pardon. He delights in saving. I wrote this down and I put a double asterisk by it because I feel like this is what the Lord spoke most powerfully to me. And that is, the cross proved that there was nothing that the love of God was not prepared to do to win the souls of man back to Him. Did you hear me? There is nothing. The blood of Calvary proves that there is nothing that He is not prepared to do to save you. It doesn't matter how low you are. It doesn't matter how messed up you are. It doesn't matter how broken you are. It doesn't matter how hurt you are. It doesn't matter how far away you are. It doesn't matter how bitter you are. It doesn't matter how hate-filled you are. There is nothing that His blood is not prepared to walk through to get to you, to claim you as His own and say, let me finish what I started in your life. Stand with me if you will. Hallelujah. Listen to me today. He will endure you. I said He will endure you and He will save you. Though you have many failures in your life, God will endure you because His love lasts longer than your failure. He will endure your backslidings. Oh yes, your backslidings. And some, I'm talking to some backsliders today. You know, you just slid back from where you used to be. And here's the dangerous part of a backslider. They still come to church. They still sing the same songs everybody else. But there's no real connection between them and God. They just go through the form. They go through the ritual. They go through the motions. But you hear me today. There is no backsliding that He cannot heal. That He cannot heal. None. There's no place that you could be right now that God's hand is not reaching for, saying, come on. What I see is just a half life. What I see is an incompleted work, a masterpiece that was not finished. He will endure your cold earthliness of mind, your carnality, till He hath made you heavenly minded. How is that? How could God endure such coldness, such hardness? Because His love is longer than your hardness can hold you. And somewhere on the other side of that hardness, there's a place where the hand of God wants to slip back in and say, come on, get back on the wheel. Let me finish what I started. Come on, get back on the wheel. Come on, get back close to me so I can, my hand can work in your, come on, come closer to me so I can touch you, so I can reach you, so I can help you, so I can make you what I designed you to be. He said the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall never depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. The sculptor may leave his statue unfinished. The artist may leave his picture incomplete. The poet may leave his lines half done, but God will never leave a life half finished. if you will just let him. He's drawing on you right now. He's pulling on you right now, saying, come on, come on, come back to that altar. Come back to that place where I was able to work and mold and make you what I designed. Come back to that wheel so that I can put you back. I can make you into that vessel of honor. God's everlasting love will not forsake the work of His hand. God's calling for you right now. Would you come? Come on, church family. Would you help make it easy for them to come and just reach over and take somebody by the hand and say, come on, let's go to the altar today. I want the Lord to finish what He started. I want the Lord to perfect what He has concerning me. I want the mercy of God that endures forever to work on my life today. I want His to never forsake the work of His hand. Lord, don't ever let go of me. Don't ever let go of me. Don't ever let go of me. The dumb prophecies of the unperfected life. The sculptor's ideal seems vainly to struggle to be free. Free from the stone that shrouds it, but it cannot do it because it lacks the touch of the master's hand. The marble lips cry out in a mute reproach, beseeching Him, oh, would you perfect that which concerns me? Will you finish that which you started in my life? Will you bring it to completion? Will you bring it to completion? Hallelujah. Come on, talk to the Lord today. Yeah, He can do it. He can do it. There's no sin too evil. There's no wickedness too vile. Unlike the marble that cannot do anything to improve its lot, you have the ability to change that today. You have the ability to change that today. For whatever reason, why don't you let the Lord touch you again in this place? Let Him touch you again in this place. Let Him free the angel that is within you. Let Him chip away the edges of your life so that your life becomes formed and fashioned into His image. Oh, yes. Yes. He was sent to you. He was sent to this place today. He was sent to help you. He was sent to lift you. Oh, yes, He was. You are Alpha and Omega.